Let's turn to 2 Kings. Excuse me. 2 Kings and the 3rd chapter. Let's look to the Lord first. Loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once again, as we're gathered around thy word, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of both speaker and hearer alike. It might not be so much anything the speaker says, that the very word of God would touch our hearts, draw us closer to himself, that we might be conformed to himself, that others might see Christ in us. We know that in ourselves we're absolutely nothing, and yet we can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. Would that be the case with each, from the youngest to the oldest? Our desire would be his desire, that we would give our mind and ourselves to him. We ask that now it's guide and direct, we go into thy word, and may we observe and learn wonderful truths from it. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, it's not a very long book or chapter, so we'll read the whole of it, and then we'll go back. Beginning with the first verse. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. The 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of Jehovah, or the Lord, but not like his father, and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He departed not from them. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep herder, breeder, shepherd, and the other, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. And it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go. I am as thou art, my people is thy people, and my horses is thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up? And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they made a circuit of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord or Jehovah hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of Jehovah or the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord or Jehovah?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water in the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of Jehovah is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for Jehovah hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Elisha said, "As Jehovah of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now bring me," "a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord or Jehovah came upon him, and he said, "Thus saith Jehovah, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith Jehovah, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of Jehovah. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fortified city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good place of the land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meal offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all who were able to put on armor and upward, and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood." Excuse me. "The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab, to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even to their country. And they beat down the cities. On every good piece of ground cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Har-Hesheth left they its stones. Howbeit, the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too severe for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We trust that we might get much for ourselves out of this. On the surface, it doesn't seem that much, but there's quite a bit in it. There's always a good bit in the Lord's word if we know where to look. We find that Jehoram was in contrast to his brother, Ahaziah. Ahaziah ruled before Jehoram. Let us look quickly to 1 Kings 22. First Kings 22:52. Thanks, Doug. First Kings 22:52. "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, or Jehovah, and walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." And if we go to the caption above it, if you have a Schofield, you'll note that it was Ahaziah, Ahab's wicked son. Now, Jehoram wasn't quite as wicked, but nonetheless, he was wicked. He got rid of the idols. Now, a few verses. We know that all Scripture... I better look at that. I should be able to buzz it right off. "All Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction." And the word, I'm still way off it somewhere. I would say don't get old, but it's only one other alternative. Second Timothy 3:16-17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, the perfect doesn't mean that you're actually perfect. It means you're mature. Mature in the things of God. Where it mentions that those that are babes in Christ, that's what it is. They're not mature. They haven't been getting into the Word of God. And we think of a good part of these verses. I think we can, most of us can quote them. But I'm going to read them. As to the first three verses, "Now Jehoram, the king of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of Jehovah, but not like his father and like his mother. for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He departed not from them. All scripture is for us to learn from. It isn't there just to fill space, but everything in scripture that essentially points toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's for our learning. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, now all these things, not some things, happened unto them for examples or examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world or ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, what's it telling us? All things that happened before. And the shame of it is, our public schools are making changes in the history or not teaching history at all. And as to our own nation, how in the world can you learn to learn from the past if you don't know what the past is? The same thing in Scripture. We learn from the things that have gone on before. And then Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now that doesn't mean a hope like in the case of a fairy tale. Our hope is real. It's true. The blessed hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture said how He would come the first time, and He came. He said how He's coming the second time, and He's coming. There's no question of that. And from what we see round about us, brothers and sisters, it's very close. But it doesn't have to wait till all these things took place. Only one thing had to happen to keep the Lord from coming. Peter had to die. That's the only thing that had to do with the church. All the rest of the prophecies have to do with Israel. But as these things are fulfilled, we know that He has to come for His church, because we are not going through it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. For to comfort one another for the fact that we know that those that are in the graves, those that have gone on before us, are going to be raised up. They're going to be raised up first. Their corrupted bodies will put on incorruption. Then we who are alive, mortal, will put on immortality. And we will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The world won't see it. It's going to see we're gone, that's all. And what a calamity. We trust that those that were on the shuttle, all of them may have known Christ as Savior, for there were two men that were faithful men of God, Mike Anderson and Captain Hubbard, her husband, and they had Bible readings on the shuttle every day. So there is the possibility that those that were there may have come to know Christ as Savior before they went out of this scene. But you and I, we can't wait for that. And those that we come in contact with, we hope and trust that everyone here is a possessor, not just a professor. There are many professors in Christendom. When I was in the military, we went to the First Baptist Church in Alamogordo. It was one of the biggest in New Mexico. Some wonderful Christians in it. But when they had a so-called revival meeting, when you just use the very word, it's, the termination is wrong. You can't revive something that wasn't there. If you're dead and outside of Christ, you can't be revived. You've got to be born again before you can be revived. But when they went up front, do you believe that Christ died for your sins? A few other questions they may ask. Yes, you're saved. The devils believe it. Even the Lord Himself said that they knew who He was. And they asked Him, did you come to torment us before the time? They knew who Christ was. but that doesn't save them. There are many people in Christendom that claim to be saved. They can give you all the answers, but they have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. In past generations, the word believe, most of the people in our day think of believe as a head knowledge. But in past generations, it meant more than a head knowledge. It meant to trust in, to cleave to, to adhere to. Of course, you had to believe it before you could do those three things. But all four were involved in the word believe. So these things were written for our comfort and for our growth. And then in verses 4 through 8, and Mesha, that's the king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. And it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel, and King Joram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, and thy people are as my people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. Evidently, they didn't take into consideration where they were traveling. And there was no water. That's one of the first things when a military group goes out. They have to know that all of their equipment and supplies are going to be with them or following close behind them. They didn't have it. And there with the latter part of verse 7, I am as thou art. Can you imagine Jehoshaphat, a man of God, making this statement? My people is thy people. My horses is thy horses. Now this is the second time that he's done such a foolish thing as this. The time before was with this man's father, Ahab. He didn't consult until near the end, and then he consulted God. But he had already committed himself to going to the battle. I have a little note here as to this. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Do we not have this with us today? And the government, everything. But we can thank one thing, one main thing here with our president of late is standing for the Lord. Some of the others in his administration and even on the other side of the aisle are beginning to stand up a little stiffer for the Lord. But you know something? If you rub shoulders with the enemy of God's people long enough, going to rub off. Your righteousness is very unlikely to rub off on them. Their ungodliness will rub off on you. Most of us realize that we're in the day of the Laodicean church, lukewarm. We trusted Christ, we're saved, so what? That's it. But the Lord admonished us to seek and to reach out to the lost. We don't know which ones are going to trust Christ as Savior. The Lord knows it. But we're the ones that have to get the word to them. I was rebuked one time in a Baptist Bible study. Well, it was the older men. I happened to be there to homecoming. My wife's family went there. And someone asked the teacher about predestination. And I explained meaning, and he said, we have nothing to do with Presbyterian teaching. Well, I didn't know it was Presbyterian teaching to begin with. But I know that there are some Presbyterians that aren't or don't go out of their way to send missionaries because they figure those that are going to be saved will be saved. True. But we're the ones to get the word to them. We're not to sit on our duffs and expect it just to happen. We're the Lord's servants. We represent Him. Now, as to this situation that has taken place here, see if I don't know, there's one verse I don't know that I put down, but what it infers is Jehoshaphat. falling, as it were, on his face a second time. And this time, he almost didn't get to the Lord's seer or prophet. It was at the last minute when they were essentially at death's door. In Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Even a husband and wife, if they're at odds with one another, there'll be nothing but turmoil. Brothers and sisters that are at odds with one another, it will be nothing but turmoil. We need to be in agreement. God's people need to be in agreement. Now, there are some things amongst God's people that there are differences. But that should have nothing to do with the fundamental teaching. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And when we see a lot of the worldlings, they act like fools. And if we're with the group, it's very easy just to keep our mouths shut and not stand up. And yet the Word of God admonishes us to speak up for the Lord in season and out of season. Then in Ecclesiastes 7:5 is very much similar. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And yet all you have to do is turn on your TV, your radio, and I'll admit I cannot understand what some of them are laughing. Some of the things that they laugh at are absolutely ridiculous. I just wonder if they don't have a tape or something doing the laughing, because I didn't think people could be that foolish. Proverbs 14:12 and also 16:20. But the natural man there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the way of the world. And you know, it's sad to say some Christians function on that same principle. It shouldn't be. We should be seeking the Lord's face in everything that we do. And for those that are getting near that age, seek the Lord's face when it comes to marriage too. That He provides the one that He wants for you. Not necessarily who you think. Lots of times who we think can be nothing but a problem. You see this in some of these kings, godly kings. Then 2 Samuel 8:2. And he smote Moab and measured them, a line casting them down to the ground. Even two lines measured he to put to death, and two with two full lines to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts to him. And then we can go on into verses 8 through 14 in the same chapter. This is telling us that Moab were the servants of David from over 200 years prior to this situation. And it was because of the kings and the nation turning their backs on God that these things took place. Not too long before this situation took place, they had been defeated in battle. And Moab figured, well, if these kings can defeat them in battle, certainly I can walk away from them and leave them. They forgot God. Now, let us go down a little bit in verse 10. Alas, or rather, and the king of Israel said, alas, Jehovah hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord or Jehovah by him? Almost too late. They were already there. They were where there was no water, there was nothing for their animals. I've got a note down at the bottom. Even wicked men will cry to God in their calamity, yet without change of heart. We've all heard that in the battlefield, in the foxhole, there are no atheists. And many of those men will pray to God, and the Lord, in many cases, actually brings them through. They make promises that they're going to live for God, and they don't. I know a man that actually went into the war before the United States. He was in the British 8th Army. And my cousin was in it, same situation. And as soon as America went into the war, they transferred into our side. And you cannot believe some of the battles they were in. Normally, if you're up on the front lines, it's only for 30 days. Then you go back for a few days rest, just to get you away from it all. They had been on the lines 90 days, three times as much. I think I've told this before. When they came back for rest area, they were told, get everything cleaned up, and you get a three-day pass to Paris. This man didn't see Paris till after the war when he went back for a reunion. After the first day of getting everything straight, the Battle of the Bulge broke. And their unit was thrown in. That was one of the primary units that stopped Germans at the Battle of the Bulge. You know how many men came out of that battle in his unit? Two. The other man's crippled to this day. The man I'm speaking about didn't even get a scratch. And he was in some of the worst of it. He still swears he is God's. He's trusted the Lord. His life isn't bad, but it's a long ways from what it should be. And he's a man in his middle 80s. I'll tell you this, it would be well if all of us could get around as well as he does, still in his middle 80s. If he hasn't trusted the Lord as Savior, he's got some awful answering to do. And if he has, we pray that he has, he's still going to answer. He's going to answer here in this life if nothing else, even if it's conscience. But if your conscience or my conscience doesn't bother us as to the way we're living, if we're outside of God's will, something's wrong. Something's drastically wrong. And then in verse 14, let's read verse 13. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord or Jehovah hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And he was one of the three kings. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, behold, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, for he was a godly man, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of Jehovah came upon him. Because of these ungodly men, the prophet was not able to even reach the Lord. That's why the minstrel was brought in. Just like David, remember David played before Saul. And in Psalm, see if I've got it here. We won't have to go run to look it up. Psalms 15 and 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience, that's what God wants. And most of Christendom is doing what? Working. Some of them are doing so much they don't have time for the Lord. The work they're doing, there's nothing wrong with it. Many of the works are good. But the first thing that the Lord asks us to do, what? Do this in remembrance of me. That's the only meeting, really, that he asked us to keep. And when we come to Lord's Day morning, it's the breaking of bread. How many of them? Now, sometimes I know that we can't be there. There are always those times. The majority of the times, if it was something we really wanted, we would be there. If it was something of our heart's desire, something downtown, whether it was shopping or what, we'd be there and we'd be on time, maybe even early. But the things of the Lord become commonplace to us. We shouldn't be looking, well, that's the guy that's speaking on blah, blah. No, we shouldn't be looking at that. He might be the poorest speaker of the lot. We should be listening to the word that he reads and nothing else. And even maybe some of the statements he says, they may not be eloquent, but there may be something there just for you or for me. And maybe the only statement there might be just for us. Might not be for anybody else in particular. Then Acts. Most of us know these portions very well. 2:42-43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That is the reason when Jehoshaphat was walking with God for so many years, they had no war. Because he let the Lord take care of everything. Every time they had a war, he turned to the Lord. And God destroyed them. Even let the enemy destroy themselves. They didn't even have to go in and fight. They just went in and cleaned up the spoil. The moment he called Syria to come in to help him and forgot to ask God, that's when most of his problems began. Because he forgot the Lord. God doesn't expect us to lean on flesh. And God, in fact, God hates that. The arm of flesh. He expects us to look to him. Romans 12, 1 through 3, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What the scripture also say, we're to crucify self daily. We're to put the old man down. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, fellowship with the ungodly will foul us up. And even, we just heard recently, where the FCC has allowed the F word, was it this year or next year, to come into almost any program, not just certain times of the night. And one teacher had the students reading a book that was filled with it, so that they wouldn't be shocked. The shock should have been the teacher should have been kicked out on her ear, fired. And the school board that allowed it should have been fired as well. We as a nation sit back and let it take place. And remember, we have two citizenships, you and I, that know Christ as Savior. The first is a heavenly citizenship. The second one is our own nation here. A nation of what? Of the people, by the people, and for the people. So we need to take our part in that. Many Christians don't even bother voting. Well, if I vote, I get involved in that. Oh, you're not getting involved. You or I know who we think is the best. And we use the help of the Lord to try to discern who's the best. And we cast our vote. The Lord overrules, fine. That's his will. His will is going to be done. But for us to sit back and do nothing, it's the same as saying, well, whoever wins gets it. And it may be the wrong people get it because we sit and did nothing. But we're not getting involved with politics. We're casting a vote for whoever we think should be the right man. And certainly George Bush over the other guy that ran against him was a vast difference. And thank the Lord for his steadfastness. And thank for the Lord of the boost he certainly gave the soldiers the other day, Thanksgiving. I will I was in the truck and I happened to hear it on the news. And I was dumbfounded. And the time I got home, it was on the TV. That was a shock. time he stepped through the curtain, the guys were up on the table and everything else cheering him. I guess that really set Hillary and her bunch back. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The wealth of the universe can't buy our souls. Our Creator had to die for us. And the moment He took that body on, if we read it this morning, in Isaiah 52, the last three verses, He became a servant, although the perfect servant. And He obeyed the Father to the nth degree and took our place. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Doesn't that come along with what we had read a little earlier? 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good men. It affects our lives as we deal with. Now, that doesn't say we're going out of the world. We can't do that until the Lord takes us. But we don't hobnob with the worldling. The worldling looks at us when we're doing that. We're no different than anybody else. Verse 14 I've got here, and then Jehoshaphat. Psalms 19:12-14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Everything that we do, we should be looking to the Lord about it. Matthew 10:37-38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What's the Lord saying? We're told in Scripture to love our father and mothers and our siblings, our family. But our love for the Lord Jesus Christ should be so great in comparison, our love for our family looks like hatred. And I don't think any of us can come near that. But our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is to be above everything. Jeremiah 7:28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Jehovah, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. We've got it all over our nation today. Right's wrong and wrong's right. Here's where you turn, you see it. 2 Chronicles 19:2-3. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Do we do that? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before Jehovah. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thy heart to seek God. 2 Chronicles 16:7-10. And at that time Hanani the seer came Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God or Jehovah thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Libyans a huge host and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, rely on the Lord. He delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa suppressed or oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now Asa was the father of Ahaziah and Jehoram. But the Lord, because of what he had done, the nation was going to pay for it. Then in Luke 22, 19 and 20, we just had this morning, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is broken for you. This do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament ratified. That's what the way the Amplified has it. In my blood, which is shed for you. Ratified, in other words, guaranteed. It's like a contract. I don't know what in the world I got here, but it's verses 7 and 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. Leviticus 17 and 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament ratified, again in the Amplified, in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Acts 20 and 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. I read the rest of it. Paul just happened to be there. They weren't there because Paul was there. They were there to remember the Lord. Acts 2, 42 and 43. And they continued steadfastly in the disciples' doctrine and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. In like manner, when Jehoshaphat was walking and living with the Lord, we find that all the nations round about were fearful of attacking. When God's people are living the way they should, we'll find that the world isn't going to be able to attack us in the same way. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for our wonderful Savior, who's the very creator of all things. All things were made by him and for him. And yet he became that lamb, that perfect lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then in another place where even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the peace. He, our very creator, became our substitute. He bore in his own body on the tree that judgment that you was due to each of us, that we might be set free. And again, in Hebrews, we find he tasted death or punishment for every man. Salvation is only to those that avail themselves, that reach out and take hold of that free gift that has been offered full and free. May each of us be more concerned about those that we come in contact with, those to whom we give tracts to, that we would hold that little written word, little missile, up before the Lord, that wherever it goes, we may not see the results until we get the glory. But wherever it goes, or the word that we give forth, the testimony we give, that it would bear fruit. Now our God has said that his word would not go without bearing fruit. It would not be void. So let us be more faithful. We know we're in that the last days. And it's to the individual, not to any particular group. It's the individuals that are mentioned.
that each of us, as those that know Christ as Savior, were individuals, and yet we're one in Christ, we're one body in the Lord, that we all pull together and do those things that will bring glory to Himself and reach the lost. Now, Father, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness, those that have been bereaved, and we certainly thank Thee for those that have been raised up or even partially raised up. And we ask that Thou would be with those that will be traveling, many still traveling because of the holidays. We thank Thee for those that have been out on the holidays and are back safely. Now we ask that Thou would be with us throughout the remainder of the day. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.